everybody. Call the meeting in order. Our first order of business is the approval of the agenda.
There would be one revision. You can remove approval of minutes for July 12th, 2018.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the June 28, 2018 meeting.
We had some minor changes, pretty much just spelling and other things, so they would be approved as revised.
I have any changes. Make a motion to approve the minutes as revised.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the June 28, 2018 meeting as revised. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is old business. We have four items of old business this evening. The first one being conditional use number 2137, John W. Ford.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve conditional use number 2137 for John Ford for professional offices based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is similar in character to many other offices in this area on Savannah Road. It is in character with the long history of development of medical and professional office space along Savannah Road. Two, the use as professional office space in this location will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County residents by providing such a use in a convenient location. Three, the applicant intends to expand the existing structure on the property while maintaining the residential appearance from Savannah Road, and this is consistent with other business and professional uses along Savannah Road. Four, the use, with the conditions and limitations placed upon it, will not adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways. Five, the use is in a developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. This use is appropriate in that area according to the plan. Six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, as stated by the applicant, the use shall occur within the existing structure, expanded to the rear, but maintain its residential appearance from Savannah Road. B, as stated by the applicant, the hours of operation shall be between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday hours shall be by appointment only. C, any dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways. D, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements concerning entrance, traffic, and roadway improvements. E, all exterior lighting shall be downward screened so it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. F, with the exception of the required handicap spaces, all parking shall be located in the rear of the property behind the office. G, one lighted sign shall be permitted on the property. The sign shall be no larger than 32 square feet per side. H, there shall be no less than 19 parking spaces located on the site, and I, the final site plan, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's my motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2137, John W. Ford, with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next two items were the subject of a consolidated public hearing. The hearing was consolidated, but it's two separate applications that will be voted on separately, so I'm going to read them both into the record. First one being change of zone number 1851, the Evergreen Companies LLC, and the conditional use number 2134, the Evergreen Companies LLC. Ms. Stevenson.
Hi. Would like to discuss this a little more with the commission, if that so pleases you, Mr. Chairman.
It certainly does. It's entirely appropriate.
Just because that area is that it's the 7 acres to change it to MR. It's surrounded by an area that is there's a lot of AR. The MR is of a nature that's not the same as this necessarily. So I'd like to hear your thoughts from the commission. What are your thoughts on this, on changing AR to MR on this road in that space? Anybody?
Well, let me share a few okay. thoughts to start then, and hopefully this will spur some discussion. The issue we have anytime we're confronted with this, these simultaneous applications like this, is that they don't go together. They stand alone. Each one has to stand alone, but it's they're the subject of the same property. Taken together, it's not an unreasonable application. To make it happen the way it was presented, though, we would have to act positively on both the change of zone and the conditional use. The challenge here is if the commission approves a change of zone and a conditional use, and with the passage of time or a change in ownership, the conditional use can expire. The change of zone does not. Once we change the zone, that's it. It's changed. So what can happen is the MR zone would stay in place. The conditional use that we contemplated as part and parcel of the whole project is now gone, and the developer is free to do anything that is permitted in an MR zone at that point. As a practical matter, as I looked at what could happen in an MR zone, in one instance, if you were limited to four units to the acre at 10,000 square feet a lot, if they did that, it probably wouldn't be any more units than they have now. The issue is, though, you're not limited to that. You could do multifamily. You could do other things where you would get, a much higher density. So that's the that's kind of the challenge we have in front of us. So the question on the MR zoning question really is the MR appropriate for the area?
My question being that
I'll go last.
Go ahead, Mr. Hoffman. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Is there other MR in that area?
Next to it is Schofield, which is AR. Wolf Point is AR. Wolf Run is AR. Hawk's Eye is AR.
Isn't one of them?
Breakwater is an MRRPC, though. So it's the whole plan had to be considered there. So it wasn't just straight up MR. The RPC had the planned community was part of it. So
it is a little different than everything else, than most everything else that's in there.
Right.
Just to be clear, soundtrack. Ladies and gentlemen, we usually say this later in the meeting, but if you do have a cell phone or similar device, if you could turn it off or switch it to silent service. Thanks. Just on the MRRPC, that's actually the same as the situation that Bob described. I mean, back when that was approved, it was an MRRPC, and it was part of an overall project on a larger tract of land. It was also possible in that case that the RPC could have gone away, and it would have still been the MR zoning underneath. But it's built out as an MRRPC now, which is like you just described.
I have a question about you can't have the conditional use without the change of zone, right?
That's correct.
Is that am I thinking right? Okay.
But if they came back with the AR, if it stayed AR, they could put multifamily on it but they'd have to buy extra density, correct?
Or so to get the number of units under AR, they would have to pay for the density?
Yeah, it's a bonus density.
Bonus density, and that still requires a conditional use, and there's a much higher standard for multifamily in the AR1 zoning district.
Personally, I didn't feel that the proposed project is really completely consistent with what is out there already. I feel like it's using more of the land with less, the parking was a concern, and less open space, especially the frontage.
Can we discuss it all together or just one
sure.
at a time?
No, we can discuss it all together, sure.
Yes, I agree with you that part the conditional use part of it is not in keeping with what is there already. I mean, I went out and measured how far back every other development was I'm sure everybody was excited about me tromping to their backyard with a measuring tape, but I did, so.
Well, that's really doing your homework. Good job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the closest any house or any property was 75 feet, but most of them were 80 to 100 feet back from the road.
And when you say the road, you mean the road in the community or Gill's Neck?
Gill's Neck Road.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I think the conditions that you proposed in the conditional use are appropriate, and this is the dilemma. When you take it into consideration as a whole, it works.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is we have this situation where one can stick and the other one doesn't.
Right.
And I don't know that there is a way to allow them to do what they want to do that doesn't present us with that problem. Counselor, is there?
You mean the situation where you end up with a conditional use that could expire? No, short of going for a change in zone to some zoning district that allows that sort of thing by right, which would be a higher density.
And given the market conditions today, I would suspect that they'll probably just go ahead and do the project. I don't think that there would be a stopping out. I don't really see how that benefits them at all to not go ahead. But this is something that has, I mean, we've had this problem before and for a while, and we've talked to county council about linking these things together to give us the ability so that if one sunsets, the other sunsets.
Right.
And
right.
We talked about it so much that I thought we had it done for RPCs, but I guess we don't have it done for that either, do we?
No.
And it's 3 years to have substantial work done, right?
Yeah, correct. 3 years from the date of approval.
Yeah.
Which is the same for any conditional use, whether it's a business or the residential.
What's considered state. Substantial?
Substantial construction means that the roads have been rough graded in, the stormwater management has been rough graded in, the use is substantially underway, and it's being actively maintained.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty much almost word for word. Yeah. Yeah. Comes up a time or two, you know.
All right.
Bob said it best, I think.
Which time? Because I could say, I mean, when you look at them together, I think it's a reasonable solution. We just don't have any, we just don't have a way to assure ourselves that that's the way it will turn out.
Is there anything under MR that if the CU went away, that would not come back to us?
Well, they would by right be allowed to do certain things. It's all going to come back to us, but we would be limited as to what we could do with it.
Right, so if they came back with a MR subdivision, that would just come through the Planning and Zoning Commission for subdivision approval, just like an AR subdivision.
And if it came through as single family homes, it didn't look to me like they would get more units than what they're getting now. But if it came back as some kind of condo or something like that, I think you might get
right
something that you might.
But that would also be, to your question, a conditional use. So that would come back through the public hearing process here and at county council. That'd just be another.
So the only thing they could do with the MR then is a straight MR subdivision,
which still comes to you all.
Still comes to us, but it's by right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They can't do the multifamily without some other action.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. That makes me feel
so
better.
So they could do, I mean, theoretically, in multifamily, you could do a conditional use for like a condo style building. That you may be able to get more units on. I don't know the geometry of it, but
that would still be a conditional use.
To approve.
And the only thing, okay, then what I hear you saying is the only thing they can do that is considered by right would be lots. I think the geometry of this piece of real estate is such that they couldn't get any more than they're asking for now that way.
No, but they could get lots that were right up to the road.
Good. And that was a main concern I think all of us had with that one building stuck out there near the road.
Biggest concern.
Which your conditional use addresses. So proposal addresses, so
right.
that would maybe be the only issue.
And, you know, we don't have a subdivision application in front of us to consider, but you can put conditions on subdivision applications. I don't know whether that would be appropriate necessarily in a subdivision, but I wouldn't necessarily rule it out either.
Well, I think you actually, I think there's some precedent for that, though, because you can require in a subdivision that the setbacks be consistent with what else is on the street. Yeah. I think we've done that before.
Yeah.
So you probably could push them back off the road if we had to do that.
Okay, that's that is a major concern, especially on that road. That's a two-lane road. So.
Well, I think just given the fact that the market is still very strong, I suspect that they're just going to go ahead and do whatever gets approved. If they don't, the conditional use goes away. The risk at that point, I think, is still pretty small, because if they, especially if we can impose a distance, a front setback restriction, and then for them to do anything else, they'd have to come back and see us anyway.
I had a question about could that one community potentially prohibit any kind of expansion on that road width-wise?
One community?
Yeah, that community.
An existing
regarding right-of-way dedication?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
When you say expansion, you mean like if DelDOT was to come along?
If
and
they wanted to widen it,
span the road.
DelDOT width. Could. I mean, they have powers of eminent domain, so they could acquire whatever they need to.
They could.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you'll also have to consider what things they could put on it if it stayed AR. It's all houses there, but by rights, they could put very agricultural things on there.
They could.
And I guess, Kim, to your point, an AR subdivision would have the same issue as an MR subdivision, too, as far as yes. where lots are situated. You know.
All right. Well, I'm going to then make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we recommend approval of change in zone 1851 for the Evergreen Companies, LLC, for a change in zone from AR1 to MR, medium density residential, based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The site is along Gills Neck Road, which is developed with a variety of housing types, including single family homes, duplexes, multifamily units, and even an assisted living facility. MR zoning is consistent with the development trend of this area. Two, the property is nearly adjacent to the Breakwater RPC, which has an MR zoning. This application represents a reasonable extension of that existing MR zoning. Three, this site on the outskirts of Lewis is appropriate for MR zoning and the housing types permitted in that zone. Four, the site is in the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, which is a developing area. MR zoning is appropriate in this area according to the plan. Five, the site is served by central sewer provided by Sussex County. Six, this site is served by central water provided by a publicly regulated water system. Seven, the Sussex County Zoning Code states that the purpose of MR zoning is to provide medium density residential development in areas which are or expected to become generally urban in character and where central water and sewer are available. Here, the property is just outside the city of Lewis with development occurring all around, and it is in a developing area under the current comprehensive plan. This location is appropriate for MR zoning according to the stated purpose of the district. Eight, the change in zone will not adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways. And nine, for all these reasons, my recommendation is to approve the application for a change in zone from AR1 to MR.
Second.
We move and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1851, the Evergreen Companies LLC, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. And on CU 2134, the Evergreen Companies.
All right. Any more discussion on that one?
No.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for conditional use number 2134 for the Evergreen Companies LLC for multifamily dwellings in a medium density residential district based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The applicant seeks the approval of 26 single family duplex type structures on approximately 7.3 acres for a density of 3.5 units per acre. This density is appropriate within the MR zone, which permits up to 4 units per acre. Two, the property is in an area where other residential development has occurred, including the mixed-use Breakwater and Cadbury developments and other single-family and multifamily developments. This project is generally consistent with those nearby uses. Three, the site is in the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. This type of development is appropriate in this area according to the plan, which states that a range of housing types are acceptable here. Four, the proposed development will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or roadways. Five, the property does not contain any wetlands. Six, the project will have 1.82% the site set aside as active and passive open space. This includes the preservation of 1.32 acres of existing woodlands on the site. The development will be served by central sewer provided by Sussex County. The development will be served by central water. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units shall be 24. All entrance, intersections, roadway, and multimodal improvements shall be completed by the developer in accordance with all DLDOT requirements. C, the project shall be served by Sussex County Sewer. The developer shall comply with all Sussex County Engineering Department requirements, including any off-site upgrades necessary to provide service to the project. D, the project shall be served by Central Water to provide drinking water and fire protection. E, interior street design shall meet or exceed the Sussex County street design requirements. F, as proffered by the applicant, there shall be sidewalks on both sides of all streets and roadways. G, all lots shall be set back at least 75 feet from Gills Neck Road right-of-way. This is consistent with the designs of other existing developments on both sides of Gills Neck Road. Section 115-218 of the zoning code allows the county to require a 20-foot buffered area around forested buffer around multifamily developments. Like other developments in the area, there shall be a vegetated or forested buffer of at least 20 feet in width around the entire perimeter of the project, with the exception of the area fronting along Gills Neck Road. This buffer area shall include the existing vegetation that exists along the boundary of this property. The applicant shall submit, as part of the final site plan, a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design, including the buffer areas. The landscape plan shall clearly designate the existing 1.32 acres of forested area that will be preserved. J, all construction and site work on the property, including deliveries of material to or from the property, shall only occur between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. K, no other outdoor construction activities shall occur at the site except between the hours of 7:30 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays, and there shall be no construction activities at the site on Sundays. L, street naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the county mapping and addressing departments. M, the applicant shall form a homeowners association responsible for the perpetual maintenance, repair, and replacement of the roads, any buffers and landscaping, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sediment control facilities, and other common elements. The stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. O, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. P, as stated by the applicant, there shall be a swimming pool and small pool house installed on the premises. The swimming pool shall be at least 15 feet by 30 feet in size. And Q, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Does anybody have any questions or...
Just one quick correction. I think this was a typo on it. It's 18, number six, the finding, the project will have 18% of the site set aside as active and passive open space. Sorry about that.
There you go, 18% of the site set aside. Didn't, you know, I read that and I was like, wait a minute. Move right on. You get in a roll. Anything else, any other questions or concerns? Was it all okay? Then that's my motion.
I second the motion.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2134, the Evergreen Companies LLC, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. And Commission, I want to thank you for your thoughtful discussion and your careful deliberation. When this process works, that's what it looks like. Our next item is change of zone number 1852, Canal Corcoran, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for change of zone number 1852 for Canal Corcoran, LLC to amend the existing MRRPC approved as ordinance number 1279 to allow the re-subdivision of two existing large lots into eight new lots based on the record made during a public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the Canal Corcoran MRRPC was approved in 1998 and it has been in existence for years with only a small number of vacant lots remaining at this time. At the time it was approved, the developer retained two very large lots at the northern end of the development. One lot was 1.3 acres and the other was 7.0 acres. Two, the developer, who is the applicant here, seeks to subdivide these large lots into a total of eight lots, all of which will be consistent with the other lots in the development. Three, this subdivision will create a total of six new lots, which is still less than the total number of lots permitted as part of the original approval. Four, the Canal Corcoran Homeowners Association has approved this application. Originally, these two lots were excluded from contributing to the Homeowners Association. These new lots will all be a part of the Homeowners Association and will contribute in the same way as all the other existing lots in the Canal Corcoran development. Five, all of the conditions of Ordinance 1279 shall remain in effect except for Condition 6, which shall be amended to state as follows. Six, the maximum number of units for the project shall not exceed 170 units, with no more than 51 multifamily condominium units, 14 multifamily duplex units, and 105 single-family lots. By comparison, the existing zonings of C1 general commercial and AR1 agricultural residential could permit 160 or more units, and a subdivision project with MR density, medium residential zoning could permit 200 or more units. Six, the new lots shall be subject to the declaration of covenants, conditions, easements, and restrictions for Canal Corcoran. Seven, in addition to the conditions included in Ordinance 1279, a new condition shall be added with regard to these eight new lots. Any of the eight new lots that have wetlands within their boundaries shall contain the wetlands notice in their deed as required by Section 99-6H of the Subdivision Code. In addition, all of the wetland areas within each lot shall be clearly marked with permanent markers to identify them as non-disturbance areas. Eight, a revised master plan for the MRRPC showing these new lots shall be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for approval. And that is my motion.
I second the motion.
It's moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1852, Canal Corcoran LLC, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Carried 4-1. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, we reached a point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're glad you're here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on an application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and the witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Also, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you.